The Lord started this last night about 1 o'clock in the morning or 12, and I woke Chuck up. Anna goes, "You think he's sleeping?" I said, "Not anymore." I said, "If I don't sleep, he don't sleep." And so this download came tonight. Now, some of you might be hearing something. We've been in this message of the right hand of the Father probably for 9 solid months. But I'm going to walk you through in a new way tonight. And we're going to be here. Hallelujah. The children will be joining us midway through this one because I have to release this word tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is really, I mean, today he just added a whole bunch to it. And so we're going to walk through. There's a reason why God put the book of John right next to the book of Acts. There's a reason why there was two upper rooms, one in John and one in Acts. And we're going to journey through those upper rooms tonight. We're going to look at the significance of those upper rooms and why the Holy Spirit fell. Now, the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, but he's literally going to fall out through us, or out of our belly shall flow rivers. But to the degree we're looking for him to do that, we're going to have to get positioned. And this is what the Lord's teaching us, to get positioned. Amen. Everything is about position in the kingdom. All right. So let's look at Acts 1 first. And boy, I got a long way to go. Thank God I have all night. Praise God. Isn't it summertime? Somebody told me it was summertime. Glory to God. Acts 1 verse 12. You're going to hear something tonight. Glory to God. And they return Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. There's revelation there. Don't have time to get into it. And when they were come in, Acts 1 verse 13, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and all the other apostles. In verse 14, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. And there was 120. So that was quite an upper room that was housing them. Now I want you to look at verse 1, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now notice, when they were, the day of Pentecost, verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord in one place, in the upper room, all right? And there suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. God likes it when we sit down. And then he likes it when we go. But before you go, you got to sit with him. Let him teach you something. Amen? So he had him where he wanted him, in an upper room sitting. Sounds to me like that was Ephesians 2. Raised together with him, made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Now this upper room had a dynamic to it, because I actually believe, and I can't prove it in scripture, that it was the exact same upper room that the Lord held communion, regardless of whether or not there was prophetic symbolism of this upper room. And I'm going to show that to you tonight, because we've got to get positioned in our upper room in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. All right. So let's back up a minute to Mark chapter 14. And this is right before the Passover. Jesus sends his disciples, Peter and John. And I want you to notice verse 12. And he says, the first day of unleavened bread, they killed the Passover. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Where are we going to do this? Everybody's in Jerusalem. Hotels are booked. Now, this is very important. This is why I think actually it was the same guy providing the upper room. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said to them, go you into the city, there you shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. That was prophetic too. Because that's the one we met bearing the water of life. And he was going to introduce us to the good man of the house, where we're going to live with him in the upper room and have communion. The good man of the house is the Father. We come into the upper room, we're going to have communion with the Father. Amen? All right, now watch this. He shall meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. You're going to find a lot of the Lord asking us to follow him. We are to follow him to the nations, and we're also to follow him in the very commission for which he was sent. And if we follow him deep into that commission that I'm going to talk to you about, we're going to follow him all the way in to the upper room, the true upper room, the one that's not of this jurisdiction. The one where you're above only and not beneath. The one where you're seated in heavenly places. Wheresoever he shall go, say you to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is thy guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? They walk into this guy and said, where's the chamber? And the Lord already spoke to him, had it already prepared. This is prophetic too. And he will show you a large upper room, probably one that could hold 120 plus the 12 in the book of Acts. But I can't prove it, but you can't prove it didn't either. So, and I will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. This guy had already heard from the Lord. He already had it ready. Now, it's interesting. Well, I can't get ahead of myself. Peter had the authority of the Acts upper room, but it was John that had the authority of the upper room with Christ, the Passover, where he was going to introduce them to something so grand and so wonderful that he couldn't even speak until Judas left the room. He brought them up there, all 12. He said, one of you have a devil. Now, we got to go over to John now. We can't help from going to John. That book, you need to eat John for a living. Eat that book. There's so much in it. The Lord said, you don't have it yet. I said, Lord, I've been through it 55 times. It's that 56th pass that causes that whole book to open. It's that book that's the gateway to ushering into the upper room in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit will flow like rivers of living water from your position in the upper room. See, when you're here, it's different than when you're here with the Father. The Holy Spirit out of your belly will flow the river, see, when you're positioned. All right, go to John chapter 13, verse 23. I want to show you the order of things and why it was necessary. Now, we know that in Acts, on the day of Pentecost, that Peter spoke up. Amen? We know that 5,000 were saved, and then 3,000 were saved. And we know by Acts chapter 5, I actually want to show that to you just for a minute. Go over there, verse 12. Keep your finger in chapter 13 because it's very important. When they were sitting in the upper room of the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell, it was the Peter in us that ran with it. When they were sitting in the upper room with communion, it was John in us that was with him. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Back up. Let's just go to Acts for a second. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest, as no man joined themselves to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14, and the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing. This is what we want. Father, anoint the Peter in us. Anoint the Peter! I want to walk on water, the demonstrations of heaven in a first world nation. Where they're laying them on the beds and couches. How many does not want that? How many times has been prophesied to every city? Every time I go to a city, they'll say, you know, it's been prophesied in our city. It's going to happen here. Then you go to another city, it's been prophesied in this city. It's going to happen here. I said, every city gets it. Because it's who comes up and lays hold of it. It's that Peter, the released from the upper room in the book of Acts. But I also find Peter, there's another part of Peter. Peter's that zeal in us. Peter's that faith. Peter's the acts, the demonstration, the expression of God. But he's also impulsive. It's also that capacity to be flighty. You know what I mean? Emotional, erratic. Peter would speak before he would think. He lived on the zeal. You saw, he just throw me out of the boat. It's the Lord. And he cast himself into the sea. I mean, that's that part of you that does that. But that's the part that God uses. But it's not until the John in you identifies into the upper room that the Peter in you is going to get released out of the book of Acts. Now, I asked the Lord for many years because I had so much of Peter in me, especially in my early days, just full of zeal. God anoints me. Let me run. I want that power. You know, but the Lord said, if you don't go through the gateway of John, how many times have we seen the Peter run to the nations? How many times do we see the Peter skyrocket because they grabbed a hold of something in the upper room? Last revival hit this nation. Somebody got into the upper room and grabbed something out of it. There was too much of Peter and not enough of John. And because the impulsiveness of Peter without the tempering of John. See, it's possible to grab something out of the upper room in the book of Acts and bring it down into the earth. But if you're not ready, even Peter had to be corrected by Paul. In the book of Galatians, Paul had to start correcting him because that's what impulsive nature does. Boy, you can run with God. You'll step out there. Hey, the guy walked on water. He administrated a revival in the streets of Jerusalem. Laid him on beds and couches. The glory was on him. That shadow was coming over him. I mean, that glory, God was healing. He's like, God, I want to be Peter. Really? You want to stick your foot in your mouth every time you talk? You want to get rebuked by the Lord about every other day? But God loves that part. He chose Peter, separated him in chapter 21 of the book of John. What we need more than anything right now is to identify with the divine order that God set up. Go through the gateway of John. Get into that upper room first. And then follow me into the upper room of the book of Acts. And this is where he's taken the church. Amen? So let's look at John for a minute and see what kind of following we're supposed to be doing here. Amen? Since I can't get out of it. Now, the John and you, look at John chapter 13. I love this. Now, what he's about to say in the latter part of chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 was not mentioned by one other gospel. John is the only one caught this revelation. In fact, the whole book caught it. The book is the gateway to the upper room of the Father, to the right hand of the Father. The book is the gateway to pure, unadulterated, unconditional love. Man, we are accessing. Tuesday, we're supposed to have a financial contending prayer meeting. Who was here on Tuesday? that just broke out. People on the floor weeping. I'm telling you, we were close. See, I thought I understood because I knew God was my Father when I was born again. I didn't know Him, though. Now, God would come and visit me with love. And I knew what love was. But I had not been engrafted in because I didn't know where love lived. Let me tell you something. There's only so much of the love of the Father you're going to get by visitation. The rest of it you're going to have to get by habitation. You're going to have to be where He is. Now watch this. Watch the order of this. Amazing. John 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Ooh. Really? Verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. They're in the upper room. One of His disciples whom Jesus loved. I wonder who John was talking about. Notice where his position was in this upper room. The man prepared the upper room for them. Get the prophetic implication here. What he's going to say in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 was all about introducing you to the Father in heavenly places. And where was John's position? Leaning right into the bosom, right into the innermost being, the chest, right into the heart of the Lord. He leaned in. And when he leaned in, he caught the revelation. None of the others caught it. Peter even knew his place. Look at the next verse. Peter wasn't talking directly to the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him, the one Jesus loved, John. He said he should ask who it should be to whom he spake that would forsake him. Notice who had the priority in the upper room of communion. Now you got to understand what this upper room holds. What was Jesus saying to them? It was culminating a whole message that he had been speaking all the way through the book of John. Must have mentioned it 20 times. Listen, I do not come of myself. I do not represent myself. I represent the one who sent me. He doeth the works. The works that I do, he's doing them through me. My doctrine is not my own. He's the Son of God, the Word. Before he was ever born as the Son of God, he was the Word. And yet he said, my doctrine is not of myself because I'm sent to represent another. Listen to this. I've said this before. I'm going to say this again. If Jesus did one miracle in his deity, you could not obtain it. That's why he became a man, the firstborn, and everything he did was under submission to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit so he could freely give you what he walked in. That's what we're after. I don't want the Corinthian model. You know what the Corinthian model is, don't you? Lots of gifts, no character. That's just well put there. That's with the gifts. Well, what do you mean I don't want the gifts? Well, let's see who he gave the gifts and the ministrations to. Chapter 1, it's been declared of me of the house of Chloe, there be divisions among you. Chapter 3, he says, hitherto I want to give you some meat, but I'm going to have to keep giving you milk because you haven't grown up yet. He goes, you're mere babes. Chapter 5, committing adultery, incestual fornication, actually. Chapter 6, they were suing each other at the law. Chapter 9, there was idolatry. Chapter 11, there was division at the communion. He says, don't you know his body was broken that you could become one and you're coming in here with divisions? One says, I'm Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Peter. Was he divided? That by the time chapter 12 comes, he gives the gifts, the ministrations, and the calling. He says, now, but I'm going to severally will it. I'm going to give it to the Holy Spirit and he'll be the dispenser of your power. If God didn't do this, what did Paul say after the end of 12? What did he say? He said, now I show unto you a more excellent way to do this. We're going to introduce you to the love of the Father. We'll get you to grow up. There's a more excellent way. Covet earnestly the gifts because God will use you in your carnality. Everyone said, amen. If he didn't use us in our carnality, he would not have expression in the earth. But that's not what Jesus walked in. Not severally as the Holy Spirit willed. He walked in an anointing without measure. Fully anointed by the Father. And the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. And that's what we're trying to obtain. The next revival is going to hit this planet is one that will come right out of the right hand of the Father. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of those disciples. John in us is going to have to identify right in there. Notice where it was. Jesus, John, then Peter. You see that? Peter was going through John to speak to the Lord. He said, ask him who's going to betray him. And guess what Jesus told him? John asked him, who's going to betray me? And Peter said, the one that dips the sop. No mysteries are withheld to the one that's right in there. See, he got his ear so close, he heard the heartbeat of the Father and he brought it out. And because of this, see, it's the John in us that's going to have to come in there. And hear what he's saying. Once that John gets positioned in us, the love. See, John's the anchor. John's the stability. It's possible to have both John and Peter, you know. Amen? John is the endurance. It's the steady, balanced. It's the one who abides. Peter's the one who demonstrates. Peter doesn't get what John is supposed to get first, he's going to run amiss. We've seen it over and over and over. They shoot up like rockets and they fall just as fast. You know why? They didn't go through John. They didn't get their head in there to find out what he was saying. What was he saying? Well, if you've been here for the last 7 months, you probably want to know. But I want to know what was going on in this upper room. He brought him in the upper room and foreshadows, as I'm going to introduce you to someone else. I don't come to represent myself. All right? Go to chapter 12, really quick. John 12. Man, I got to get you through John. We got to get to chapter 21 because that's where we are right now. We're in 21. I love the lampstand. That word is a lamp under my feet. My God, he can talk. You see a whole lot better than you think you see. If you can't see very well, just dive deeply into the living word. You'll start seeing more than you want to see. Amen? John 12, verse 26. Most interesting phrase. I'm going to bring a little bit of history in here. As I want to give you this journey into the upper room. It's very necessary we make this journey. And you're going to make this journey by understanding what he said. You're going to make this journey into the upper room by understanding what he said and accessing it. You access it by somebody like me that keeps preaching it to you. Somebody had to break it open. Amen. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Now, that follow me is, there's a lot of contextual things there in following me. You can follow him. You follow his voice. But really what he's speaking here is you're going to follow him to one place. He really wants to get you above all else. He says, and where I am, you need to underline where I am. And there shall my servant be. Because he's going to repeat this three times. Everyone say, where I am. There shall my servant be. That's where I want to be. So if I can find out where he is, I have a right to be there. Amen? Everyone say booyah. To this man that will follow me in the way I'm asking to be following, to him my Father will honor. What's he going to honor me with? Woo! The Father's got some serious stuff. Amen? If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. When the Father starts honoring you, shaka. Booyah. Amen and amen. All right, go to chapter 14, verse 1. I'm trying to paint this as clear as I can. We're going to move from one upper room to another upper room. But you're not going to get to that other one with fullness until you get into this one. And our position should be the one right next to him. I don't want to be down the end of the line in the upper room having to go through all the other disciples and, okay, you tell it to Peter, then Peter tell it to John, then John, Jesus will tell it back to John, John will tell it to Peter, then it goes to Bartholomew, and then I'm at the end of the rope over here. Do you think I'm going to be the one ready for the Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2 upper room? No, Jesus will be telling John and Peter and going down the line. It's amazing. It shifts, though. Peter becomes in authority in the Acts because Peter's in you. But it's John in you first. John, here's a revelation for you. Ready? Are you ready? Deep calleth the deep at the noise of thy water spouse. John comes before Acts. Wow. Wow. Don't you think that there's like one big huge gateway there? Yeah, if you know how to get into that gate. Ready, John chapter 14? Now, what was John chapter 12, 26? Where I am? Everyone say, where I am? If you didn't get it the first time, Jesus is going to repeat himself. He does this a lot. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. He's telling them he's leaving. Peter wanted to go with him the first round. Right before this, he said, I don't care if all men forsake you. I'll die with you. Couple of verses preceding, he goes, Peter, you can't go the first time. I go away, but you can't go the first time. He said, Peter said, I will die with you. He said, look, the cock will crow three times. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows in the morning. He goes, you cannot go the first time. But I'll come back and get you, and then you'll go. But let not your heart be troubled. All right? Verse 2, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. I know he has a mansion for you, but that's not this one. This is a dwelling place. This is going to place to prepare for you in the Father. It's not just a place you're going to access when you get to heaven in the by and by when your body gives way here. This is a dwelling place you have now. Everyone say now. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll receive you unto myself. Here it goes. That where I am, there you may be also. Here again, where I am. Everyone say, where I am. My whole responsibility is just to be where I am. Where he is. God, if I can get to where he is, if I can find out where he is. Now, my mind does not have the capacity to understand where he is. I have to have that compass set by the word of God. It's the word. Right? Where I go, you know the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Of course, Thomas would have to say that, you know. Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And as for you, don't know where I'm going. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm going to bring you to him. Right? Look at John chapter 17, verse 24. I've got to move now. We've covered this a lot, but I'm going to move through this. John 17, verse 24. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture here, so just hold on. I want you to see something. All right, then I got to get you to John 21 tonight, because that's where we are. Amen. We're in between two upper rooms. Shaka. Father, I will. You got to determine how close you're going to be to him in the first one, and how close you are to in the first one will determine whether Peter in you gets released. He's doing a whole lot with Peter and John, Peter and John, Peter and John, Peter and John. Amen? He both Peter and John. Father, I will, verse 24, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me, here it is again, where I am. Three times where I am. Do we get the picture? that they may behold my glory. That word behold means to experience by visitation. That they may experience by visitation my glory. Right now they can't be with me, Father, but that's going to change. They don't have the access because the heavens have not been opened, but I'm changing all that. I'm going to open the heavens, and I'm going to bring you to where I am with the Father. Isn't that awesome? All right. About six times he's going to tell you where he's going. Just so you don't have any doubt of where I am, where is where I am, we're going to locate and show you where is where I am. In other words, we're going to show you where I am is. Everybody want to know where I am is? I'd like to know where I am is. All right. John 14, back over, just slide back over there. Verse 12. Look at verse 3 real quick. If I go and prepare a place for you, if I go. He's going to say it about eight times. I go, I go, I go, I go, I go, I go, I go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right? I will come again, receive you unto myself, that when you die and your body is buried, you can be with me where I am. No, 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 no. I'm going to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also now. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's the same place in Ephesians chapter 1 where I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's the same place where you were raised together in Ephesians 2, 6, and made to sit together in heavenly places now. Say now. We got to make that journey. We got to make it into the Father's bosom first. Before we get into the other upper room where the demonstration comes. See, we all walk in love. But even Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, I could give my body to be burned and not possess this kind of love I'm talking about. He said, I can give all my goods to feed the poor and operating purely out of human love. There is a compassion with the soul of man. You can take a lost person and run one of those videos from the world with a starving kid. And they will start writing the checks. Our nation's one of those generous nations in the world. Like Haiti. I mean, they just start writing the checks. Because that's human. But there is another. Oh my God, if I would have found this. There's another love. It's the great love. Jesus was desperately wanting to get back to the Father. But more importantly, he was desperately wanting to bring you with him. And introduce you to someone so much greater. That's why he makes a remarkable statement. Let me run you through this real quick. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do you will do also in greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. You can underline, I go unto the Father. Verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. Everyone say, I go unto the Father. John 16, verse 5. But now, I go my way to him that sent me. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. Verse 10 of righteousness, because I go to my Father. This is chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 16, a little while. 16:16. You shall not see me. What'd he say? A little while. Everyone say a little while. It's not a lifetime. Will you get born again? An old sinner saved by grace. You know, wait out your lifetime and then you get to go see him. No. Don't you ever let anybody say you're a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. He gave you power to become the sons of God. And he purged that fallen nature. And they all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And none, no, there's none righteous. No, not one was not speaking of you. Of course, we can't talk about that tonight. In a little while, you'll not see me. 16:16. And again, a little while, you will see me. Because I go to the Father. How many of you believe he's actually going to the Father? So if he went to the Father, he says, then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this he's saying to us? Well, at least he told them they could be with him. In chapter 7 and chapter 8, the Pharisees and the unbelieving, he told them, I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come. You can't come. In chapter 7, they wanted to kill him about 5 different times. You read chapter 7 when you go home. They're wanting to kill him. He says, listen, you don't know who sent me. And where I'm going, I know him. I'm from above. You're from beneath. And I'm going back to the one who sent me to speak on his behalf. And where I'm going, you can't come. Because you don't believe. And if you don't honor me, he won't honor you. He honored you when you spoke for him in the old. But everything's changed now. This is my beloved son. I've come to speak to the dead. Because I'm the only one qualified to speak to a dead man's spirit and bring it to life. He goes, you couldn't do that in the old. Everything's got to change. You were a servant in my house. But it's the son that will abide forever. But you will know the truth, chapter 8, and the truth will set you free. I am that truth. You will know it. And if you will follow me and continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you'll follow me, I'm going to bring you through the cross. And then I'm going to bring you to the Father if you'll stay with me. You know what's happened to us? We went through the cross and we started playing around. And we got into the presence of the Lord and we did not continue. And because we didn't continue all the way into the Father, we stopped and just started trying to build in the flesh. You ever been to a place that builds in the flesh? 18 minutes of worship, no more. 5 minutes of announcements, 20 minutes of offering, 30 minutes of teaching, a 28-minute sermonette. And we have every program imaginable without power, of course, that can deal with your issues in life. And then we're going to get you out of here because we got the next batch of sheep coming through the gate. So we've got 5 guys out in the parking lot. It's going to get 1 sheep out, sheep in, sheep out. After all, he said, hey, we're going to go in and out, aren't we? And we did not continue with the Father. And the veil of human sufficiency set into the church. And all we can do is get the next personality. He didn't design us that way. If we would have known where he was taking us, if you'll continue with me, I'll bring you to the Father. See, I'm going to him and I'm going to come back and get you in a little while. I said, what is this he's saying to us? What's he saying? A little while, you shall see me. See, they didn't know what he was saying. You could imagine the guy that he was telling him, you can't even come. Everyone say, thank God he didn't say that to me. Amen? Now, if you go back just for a minute, verse 28. God, I love this message. I'll preach it 100,000 times before I go on to be with the Lord. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. It's 14:28. We're going to be here. Lock the door. 14:28, you have heard that I said unto you, if I go away and come again, if you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father. My Father's greater than I. God, you got to get this. I know I've told you, but you got to get this. He said, listen, I'm like, Lord, why would that encourage him? Okay, so you're leaving. But then you're going to go someone who's greater than you. Well, what does that do for me? Amen. I'm going, if you would rejoice, I'm going to the Father's greater than I. And I'm like, hallelujah. What about me? You're gone. You're with someone greater. He said, if you love me, you would rejoice. Hallelujah. You ever done that with the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. You know, every emotion in you just contrary to God. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm glad you're leaving. I'm glad you're with someone greater. Amen. Be blessed. They didn't understand him. We don't understand him either. He said, don't you understand? I'm going back to the one whom I've loved from the foundation of the world that's loved me. But I'm going by way of the cross. And when I go to him, I'm going to come back and get you. And because he's greater than I did not come to represent myself. I come to represent him. I'm going to bring you through the cross. And then if you'll continue with me, I'm going to bring you to him. And if you think walking with me on the earth was something, wait until I introduce you to him in the spirit. But they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but me, but I'm bringing you to him. And when he loves you, you'll know why I gave my life for you. Just so you could sit with me where I am. Because I share my place now as the firstborn. And we will share in the love of the Father. I'm going to bring you to where he is. As right now it's inaccessible. But I'm going to give you something that makes it accessible. I'm going to give you this new nature that can contain him. And I'm going to bring you in there by faith. By the new and the living way consecrated by the veil of the flesh. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to teach you who you are. To teach you what I've done for you. And teach you how to continue all the way into the right hand. Until he starts loving you the way you need to be loved. When I start accessing his love, I just couldn't imagine. I was so amazed. I said, Lord, 24 years. I used to pray 6-8 hours a day. I was so disciplined to pray. But I didn't know how to enter in. Now I pray with compass, see. I have a mission to come into the Father's love. Listen, everyone say, I need love. I need great love. You need it more than you know. The greatness of his love will swallow you up and start washing you. And here's the good part. Jesus presents you faultless. He presents you faultless to the Father. He presents you blameless in Colossians. Unreprovable. He presents you without fault. He presents you, oh, Father, I present them as new creations. Look how beautiful they are. And here's the devil right at the gate telling you everything that's wrong with you, why you can't go into the Father. That's not the part of you going in, my friend. Your flesh and blood does not inherit that place. It's the new creation that Jesus is presenting to the Father. Whew. Oh, man. Shaka. Everyone say, Shaka. How many know he's going to the Father? Okay, let's look at our journey real quick, and I'm going to get you to John 21. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Now, here we are. He went to the Father. He's coming back to get you. Some old sinner like Pastor Chuck. He got to come and get you, right? Some old sinner like Pastor LaRue. Big time. Like Pastor Ronnie. Mafia. Guido Hitman. I'll make you an offer. You can't refuse. You know, that kind of thing. You know, he comes and gets us. Just like you are. Now watch what's going to happen here. This is the journey you're going to make. You continue with me. John chapter 8. If you'll continue in my word, you're going to know the truth of why I came. I represent another. And I'm going to bring you to him. And after he gets through loving you and you get your head in the bosom of the Father, then I'm going to take you to another upper room. Then that glory is going to get on your hands. It's going to get into a big river called Ezekiel's River. It's going to get in your temple. And I'm going to set you. See, he was raised together and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Guess where you got sat down? right hand of the Father. Guess where the waters flow out of Ezekiel 47's temple? Out of the right side of the temple, and they filled the earth, and everything that was dead lived again. Guess where he cast the net down? John 21. Out of the right side. Where the fish were? Below. Where were they? Above. It's jurisdiction. We're going to have to learn with our faith to break the jurisdictional boundaries of flesh, jurisdictional boundaries of the earth and the second heaven. You're going to get trapped in the second heaven if you try to access this stuff by the soul. That's what happens a lot in the prophetic movement with no word, is they get stuck up into the second heaven. I got a revelation of an angel speaking to me. You better watch that kind of stuff. Listen, when you go by the word, the Holy Spirit walks you right through all that stuff. You'll never have to worry because you're going to the Father's bosom. It's the Holy Spirit that will lead you. He will receive a mind. He'll show it to you. He does not speak of himself. He glorifies me. So the Holy Spirit turns you over to the Lord. And then the Lord, if you'll continue with him and not get in a hurry, sit down with him, let him mentor you a little bit. He's going to bring you to the Father. Once the Father's loved you and loved all the stuff out of you, I had a lot of stuff. Most of it was being purged through brokenness and trials. How many ever lived with him in crucifixion? How many of you have the winnowing fork? Baptism of fire. Send your fire. Furnace of affliction. Fiery trials. I've had so much of that. Man, you get that suffering saint complex. I'm a suffering saint. You want to make it big with the Lord? You're going to suffer. Suffer for the Lord. First thing Lay told me the night I got born again, you're going to make it big. She one took me to church. She goes, you're going to make it big for the Lord? You're going to have to suffer for him. Of course, you do got to suffer. But if that's all you ever do is suffer, you are of all men most miserable. If you don't get into the resurrection, then you're just going to get buried all the time. Here's how buried people walk in. They need sozo every day of the week. They'll tell you every one of their problems because it hangs on the right, on the left, on the upper lip, and the bottom lip. Because all they're doing is suffering for the Lord. Buried with him in baptism. I was crucified with him. I'm just crucified. Man, I've been there. Mortified the flesh. Fasting. No reason why I couldn't get anybody excited about fasting. We'll kill the flesh. Broken, busted, disgusted. Well, one day. I remember the other day. Y'all stay with me tonight because I got somewhere to go, I'm telling you. I got caught up in the glory. I got caught up in the love of the Father so intense. This just happened the other day. This was like Tuesday or Monday. Anna goes, you promised we were going to take the kids to Walmart. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can go to Walmart. I'm in heaven right now. I'm literally so suspended. I said, I'm just going to try it. I said, let's just do it. I kid you not. I walked into Walmart and I'm looking around and I'm in that building, but my spirit is seated in heavenly places and the Father's love is pouring out of me. I'm like, oh no, not right here, Father. Just, I'm so caught up in the heaven. People were going, ooh, ooh. I mean, I'm there, but I'm so in another place. I was so caught up because I'm learning how to fellowship with him in the right hand now. I'm learning how to connect into his love. I'm getting my head situated. I want to say, get your head situated. And I had it situated, and this guy used to come here, walks up. I said, Pastor LaBrew. I said, oh, no, not right now, Father. And unbelief just started pouring out of him. And the Lord said, you see where he is? He said, He has borne the burden and the sufferings and the trials, but he's not learned to ascend in the power of resurrection. So all he does is bear the trials and tribulations, and he'll bear it on his tongue. I said, man, I've been there, Father. I wept. He goes, why are you crying? I said, oh, that's all I ever do anymore. Ronnie and I are out there playing golf, and we're both just crying out there on the fifth hole. Thank God there was nobody in sight. Two preachers out there. We're just looking at each other and saying, man, we're going to have to stop this game if God keeps doing this. You know, we were just being inundated with the love of God, just weeping, controlling. It was so glorious, though. Oh, man. Watch this. Here's our journey. We got to make this journey. Oh, my God. I got to get you to 21. I don't get you 21 tonight. I'll get you there Sunday. Colossians 2. Y'all ready? We're going to run. Verse 10. You are complete in him if you know where his completion lives, which is the head of the principality and power. See, you're seated above that. Quit warring against the devil. Just rise above him. He has no access to the right hand of the Father. You get in there. There are no emotional battles in the right hand of the Father. There are no battles with the flesh in the right hand. That's the power of ascension. If you'll take your faith and ascend into the right hand. Today, we've preached 23 sermons on this. They're free of charge. FramingYourWorld.com. Go and listen and learn how to ascend. In whom you've also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Watch this, verse 12. Get this. Everyone say, check in. Ready? Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. That was your old man, the one you inherited from Adam. That was the reservoir of sin within you. Buried in baptism. When? Right after John 17, Jesus went to the cross. Guess where you went? You're going to have to follow me, boys. But you're going to follow me spiritually because I'm going in there. And I'm going to be buried. And you are going to be buried with me. I'm going to bury your sin where it belongs, in the depths of hell. I'm going to take your fallen nature and I'm going to bury it. Now the church gets stuck there. How many of you have been stuck in crucifixion of flesh? Because that's the fiery trials. You know, he's buried, but he did bury the old man, but it's that other part of you he's trying to bury too. The soul and the desires of the body's got to bury that too. But he buried your old man. But this is what he wants you to know right here. Here's the journey. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen. Say risen. With him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Because when he raised him from the dead, he raised you from the dead. He had the power to speak to your dead spirit and raise it from the dead. It's our faith that taps into that resurrection that causes us to ascend up into the right hand, far above principalities. Let me get up there. Well, I can get up there when I'm in the spirit. Body stays here because of gravity, but my spirit is not subject to gravity. Jesus just knew how to overcome his body, so his spirit just walked on water. So your spirit's going to put on the new man. We're going to eventually get the new man. We're going to put him on the outside. And when we do, we're not subject to the laws of physics. The new man can walk the water. Like Jesus walked through the wall. I've tried it a couple times. Hadn't worked yet, but I'm working on it. I actually tried it with a pool one time, but don't tell anybody. I just went. In Jesus' name, I went straight to the bottom. Hey, but at least I'm trying. Buried with him in baptism. Raised together. Go to Romans 6 real quick. This is the journey. He said, you're going to have to follow me to be with me where I am. Oh, man, Lord, how could I possibly do this? As I'm reaching threshold here. A wise preacher does not preach past threshold. Threshold is people's ability to receive. As you go past threshold, anointing just lifts. That's when they check out. This for the preachers up and coming. Don't ever preach past someone's threshold. Know when they start checking out. Amen. When they check out, you got to check out. Follow me. Okay. Watch this. Verse 3, Romans 6, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Was what? Baptized into his death. See, this is the journey. You're going with him where he is. You were buried with him in baptism. He said, you'll follow me into the cross, buried in baptism. Now watch this. Therefore, you're buried with him in baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we would walk in newness of life. We're raised from the dead. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ living in me now. See, you got to tap into that resurrection. You got to tap the resurrection by faith. If you don't, you're going to sit here being a nice Christian all your life, but never know the power of that second upper room. In the first upper room, you've got to get into the upper room, the heavenlies. You got to get into the upper room to lay your head on the bosom of the Father. If you don't do that, you're going to miss all of it. And that's why we're not empowered. The John in us has got to make the journey in the book of John before the Peter in us releases from the right hand, releases from the upper room into the earth. You got to get in connection. Amen. All right, go to 20. I'm going to do this fast. We're in 20. The Spirit of the Lord fell on me last night. He said, you want to know where you are? I said, absolutely. He said, you are in John chapter 21. But I want to show you 20 real quick. One verse, verse 17. Here's where he opened the heavens. Jesus said unto her, verse 17, speaking of Mary's first words, except he asked Mary, he goes, whom do you seek? This is his first words. Watch this. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. John 20, verse 17. I am not yet ascended to my Father. Watch this. But I go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father. To my God and your God. If I can ascend, you can ascend. Because you are buried with me. And you are raised with me. And when I go up, you go up. Raised together. Made to sit together. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections there. For you are dead now to the world. That man died. Your life is hidden with Christ. Colossians chapter 3. John 21. Thank you for staying with me. I'm going to ask you for a Holy Spirit HRC filled 5 minutes. Amen. I'm asking you for a HRC 5 minutes. Y'all know what that is around here, don't you? It's about, you know, somewhere. It's HRC 5 minutes. Y'all with me? John chapter 21. The Lord said, you want to know where you're at? I said, yes. He said, you're fishing where Peter was. You've accessed. I took you through the communion in John 17. We've been in there for 6 or 7 months. What did Peter do? He wanted to go fishing. Went back. Wasn't catching anything. He said, there's going to be a catch. And this catch is going to be a release. And when this release happens, it's going to mark the birth and the transition into the upper room of Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. This catch is going to release. And you're going to have to cast your net now from the right side because you know how to do that now. You're in position, cast it from the right side. All night you've labored and caught nothing, but there's going to be a financial release of a king priest anointing. I'm telling you right now, a kingly anointing is going to birth in the land, in the ministries. God's going to fund them supernaturally. He's going to fund them with a kingly anointing. You're not going to see the begging you see today. You just turn the TV on. It's full, not all of them, but some of them are full of den of thieves. Amazing the stuff they're saying day in, day out, just constantly barraging the sheep because the kings have not been set in place. When that catch, When that catch come, Peter knew it because he saw it before. When he went out into the deep at Capernaum, he saw it. When that catch came, it marked it right there. There was a release right there. There's coming a financial release, and a very big one. It's a birthing of a kingly anointing that's going to usher in the priestly anointing. It will come first. And it was at that point when he said, now get this picture. Peter throws himself into the sea. He gets to the Jesus. Jesus said, go back and help with that harvest. He said they didn't even have enough room to receive it. And they brought that to the Lord. 153 great fishes. And God had already had something dining from a resurrected position, had prepared fish and bread for you. From a resurrected position, he already had the fish on the table. Isn't that incredible? He said, bring hither the fish. Bring that to me. Now, this was his industry. This was his livelihood. This was Peter's business. This is what he did for a living. He said, now put it right in front of me, Peter. And he sat him down. He said, Peter, it's time for you now to administrate from the upper room. I'm going to commission you today. But I got to know something, Peter. And this one, the same place from the right hand that glory is going to pour out is the same place that wealth transference pours out. I want to know, Peter, do you love me more than these right here? In other words, he put a big old pile of money in front of him. That's what he understood. That was his business. Great fishes, 153. Couldn't even believe the net didn't break. Put it in front of him. Finances that cause him to go astray. Finances that cause him to get distracted. Finances that causes them to serve themselves. David held the line till he gave the mantle to Solomon. Solomon lasted for a season. He fell under the weight of it. Jesus said, I've shown to you a more, even a greater than Solomon that stands before you today. Because I have conquered both realms, adversity and affliction, and deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. Do you, Peter, do you love me more than these? He wasn't talking about, you think the Lord was actually pitting them against his brothers? Do you love me, Peter, more than your brother here? Well, what would that prove? Do you love me more than this? This was your earthly life. This was your livelihood. And I'm separating to a higher call. Do you love me more than this? He's going to put it right in front of you. I got to know, because you're about to carry it from the right hand, boy. I want to know, do you love me? Then feed my sheep, because I'm commissioning you today out of the right hand. Because I'm going to bring you into another upper room, the same one you was in. Or John, now, do you love me, Peter? I know you got zeal, but do you have it? This is what the Lord's, we're right here. There is going to be a release. When Jesus came into Jerusalem at the Passover, he was foreshadowing the Passover lamb in Egypt when they put it over the post. Stay with me, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. When he put that blood over that post, everyone that wasn't under that blood, the firstborn, God allowed his firstborn to be taken down because he bore the sin of Egypt. See, guess what? After Passover, God said, go. Let my people go. Take the silver and the gold with you. When Zerubbabel and Joshua and the 42,000 were in Babylon in captivity waiting for their deliverance, God said, I'll raise another. And you're going to get a grant from Cyrus. And when that grant comes, you will be released to go and build again the temple. King and a priest. King and a priest. And Cyrus gave that grant to Zerubbabel, the king, governor, grandson of Jehoiakim, and the priest, Joshua. They came out of Babylon. We will be released financially. And then we'll build. Because this is the birth of a brand new day. After the order of Melchizedek, king, priest. Jesus, king, priest. We have his DNA in us, and that DNA is coming out to the right hand, and the financial release will come. I decree it. And when it comes, the kingly anointing will be birthed, and the priestly anointing will come out. Now, some of you may not have a clue what I'm talking about right now, but I'm decreeing it and speaking it in because it's time. Because this is where we're at, and the ones who do plug in. King and priest. They came out with the king when David got released in Ziklag. The wealth came, and then he was crowned. Right in Mount Hebron, by the way. Crowned in Mount Hebron with that inheritance. He came out with Ziklag. The wealth will release. Then when it does, the glory will come. All of it's coming out of the right hand. The glory will flow out of you. Shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water shall flow out of you. Rivers, plural. Rivers of the kingly anointing. Rivers of the priestly anointing. Apostolic government will flow out of you from the right hand. And when it flows, the commission, the suddenly of God will come upon the church. And that suddenly releases upon the church. It'll be funded by a kingly anointing in this hour. Watch it happen. The apostolic government is going to be funded by the kingly anointing. You will not see the excess that you've been seeing. The kings will come right up out of that government, and they'll be anointed with that government of increase and divine multiplication, and they'll walk hand in hand with the priest, and some will have both of offices in them. Shaka. Everyone just lift your hands right now. Father, right now, as we sit in these waters of John chapter 21, waiting to cast our net out of the right hand, out of the right side into the sea for the catch, for the release, and for the separation. We declare in advance, Father, not only do we love you, we commit to stay in the right hand, to be loved of you, Father, to be loved, to stay in your glory, even when the wealth of this world system that men kill for, that men run over your people for, even when that is laid at our feet, Father, we will not be moved by it, for our sufficiency and our fullness is in you alone. And we declare we do love you more than these, more than this fallen system, more than this fallen system. We are seated with you. Our sufficiency and fullness comes from you alone. We have found you when we laid our head in your bosom, Father. We touched that great love. There's nothing else. This world is fallen. We will not eat from a fallen tree again. Do you love me more than these? Will you eat from the tree of life only and not from the knowledge of good and evil? Will you eat from the tree of life or the tree of this world system, says the Spirit of grace? For I'll open it again to you in this last hour. And where Adam failed me, you'll have the choice once again, says the Spirit of grace, to eat from the tree of life that is your place in the heavenlies, or to eat from this fallen system. For many of my servants, says the Spirit of grace, has fallen to the system. And they've eaten till they want me no more. I'm just a name to them, says the Spirit of grace. But I'm looking for a people again. Ones that will come and sit with me in what I purchase for thee. For I gave my life for you to be with me, to share the joy that I have with the Father. My joy is fulfilled in you when the Father loves you the way he loves me. Will you eat from the heavenlies? For I made you a partaker of the heavenly calling. inheritance of the saints and the light? Or will you eat from this system you were born in? Those that will eat of me and live by me, I will once again shake the world, says the Spirit of grace. Your eyes will behold it in this place. For soon, says the Spirit of grace, I'm calling you back up into the right hand. And where you have found love, you will also find life. And where you find life, you will find power, says the Spirit of grace. Great power. And the demonstrations of the right hand is coming into the earth once again, that all men may know that you are ambassadors from the heavenly realm, that you represent me and you bear my image and you bear my word and you bear my message, says the Spirit of grace. Embrace. 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 Rise with me. Ascend with me. Sit down with me, that I may prepare thee for the glories that are soon to be revealed in this last generation. For I have waited the dispensations, says the Spirit of grace. I've waited for this hour for my people to come into the fullness of everything I've paid for. Everything. This is the hour, says the Spirit of